Lent has officially begun. Today we celebrate Ash Wednesday, which interestingly enough is the day that we have the highest participation at Mass worldwide in the Catholic Church. Not Christmas, not Easter, but Ash Wednesday. And I hope not to scandalize anyone, but today is not a holy day of obligation. That doesn't mean you can walk out now. So everyone's here, you gotta stay. Stay till the end, please. But it's interesting because we receive something. And it's something that's fascinating. It's a smudge of ashes in the sign of a cross on our foreheads. All of us who are receiving the ashes now, we didn't have the opportunity to have them in our meetings or Zoom calls or at work or throughout the day-to-day. But we're receiving this hidden sign made visible. The cross that marks our lives, the cross that we're preparing to accompany Christ as he carries and goes to the cross during Holy Week and comes to the moment of the resurrection. And this simple sign of ashes. And where do these ashes come from? Probably from a religious goods store right now. Where do they normally come from, or what is the tradition in the church? The tradition in the church is that the ashes that we're receiving today are the palms from Palm Sunday. And in a certain sense, it's the story of grace in our lives. On Palm Sunday, we received a green palm that was fresh, that was filled with life just moments before, and it's placed in our hands. Many of us, I remember growing up, the tradition of folding into a cross the palm that we received on Palm Sunday and placing it behind our crucifix throughout the year. And little by little, it would dry out, and we'd have this palm branch there reminding us of Palm Sunday the year before. And then we'd bring those back to the church before Lent, and they would be burnt, and the ashes that we're using would be taken from that. And perhaps that's what's happened to us during this year. The prophet Joel tells us, "Return to me with all your heart." Where have our hearts been? Have we, like those palm branches, dried out in some way? Have we been brought back? Has there been a situation in our lives recently that's felt like a burning, that's felt like being turned back to ashes? Perhaps we haven't been with the Lord during this year. And I think Ash Wednesday, part of the attraction of it is this opportunity to come back to the Lord. It's this austere attraction that invites. And it's beautiful because those palm branches are not thrown away. They're returned. And in many places throughout the world, the traditional farming techniques call for, depending on when the rainy season is, just before the rains are about to come, the fields are burnt. And it's a striking sight to see this. I've been in some places in South America where this is still practiced. So at the driest moment of the year, you see all of these fires being lit. And the air is filled with smoke. And you drive through some of these vast expanses of fields. And all you see is burnt ground and smoke filling the air. And it seems like it could be counterintuitive. Why are you destroying the fields? But the farmers know that the rains will come, and that the ground, in a certain sense, needs to be thirsty, needs to be hungry to receive the nutrients, to receive the rain that comes. And when the rain comes, there's this marvelous abundance and fruitfulness that comes out of that ground for the next year. And in a certain sense, that's what Lent is for us. It's this time of a pruning away, a time, in a certain sense, of this burning, of preparing the fields, of growing in this thirst and this hunger for God's grace. And it does seem austere at the beginning. It can seem like these fields, you know, we're starting out and we have our Lenten resolutions, and we're going to be going through this period. But it is a period that is fruitful. These ashes are a sign, not a sign of death, a sign of the field of our hearts being prepared. Pope Leo this year had a beautiful, very simple message in his simple style, but very deep and profound, inviting us to two things: listening and fasting. Listening as this radical form of receptivity, allowing God's word to enter in, allowing God's word to burn us, to wash away, to purify, to create space in our hearts. And this fasting, which is a preparation for listening, fasting which can be physical fasting, but there's so many different types of fasting that we can apply throughout our life. And the fasting isn't a contraction, it's not a scarcity. It's an expansion, it's an opening of our hearts. It's a creating of a space through hunger, through thirst, that opens us to more. One of the beautiful things that he mentions in his discourse, he says that this fasting is fasting from words that wound. He says, let us begin by disarming our language, our tongues, as we close our mouth in a certain sense to listen and to fast from hurtful words to others, perhaps even towards ourselves, this opening of our hearts. The Desert Fathers teach us a lesson of the fecundity of this time of desert. Jesus, as we know at the beginning of his ministry, went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And the desert is a really interesting place because it has a hidden fecundity. On the surface level, it seems like the desert, especially if you're driving through the desert, midday, sun's out, it's just hot, and all you see are rocks. But as the evening cool comes, you start to see that there's a fecundity there. There's all these different types of animals, all this different type of life that's just under the surface. And even more so when a rainstorm comes in the desert, and the day after you see the flowers that bloom, the grasses that come up, all of this hidden life that's there. In this stillness, in this quiet, there's something there that's preparing. I think we see it in nature around us at this time of year. It's finally the snow is starting to melt off a little bit, and you see the squirrels running around in the parks, and birds are starting to chirp a little bit more, and the sun, there's a little bit more sun. If we look outside, especially today, we think, you know, summertime seems really far off. But there's something there under the surface, moving, preparing, getting ready to give life. This grain of wheat that's fallen into the ground, as Christ will say just before his passion. All of these processes are happening in us. And perhaps there's a part of us that's excited because it's Ash Wednesday. And we have our resolutions, and this is going to be the best Lent ever. And it's just going to be incredible. And then next Monday comes around, and you're like, what even were my resolutions? This isn't working. I'm not feeling the change yet. And my invitation to you would be to trust the process. Lean into this period of preparation that the Lord is inviting us into. And the wrestling with things is part of the process, but don't wrestle alone. Bring those challenges, bring the difficulties to the Lord. If you've taken up a resolution that becomes difficult for you a few days or a few weeks in, that's a beautiful thing. It doesn't mean you're not doing it right. It means that the Lord wants you to bring it to him. Bring the struggle to him, whether it be a struggle with sin, a struggle with your resolution, all of those things, he wants to enter into the desert with us. We're not going it alone. So as we begin this time of 40 days of preparation for Easter, I would just invite you to have that hope. Life is coming, even if we can't see it yet. Let us open our hearts through listening and through fasting this season, so that we can experience the full joy of our Lord's resurrection when the day comes.